you'll be blessed to pray with us and for the service and for one another. We'll ask Brother George to come and preach for us, and as time permits, we'll close out.
Come thou bound of every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flames of tongues above. Praise the Mount of Faith.
Merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence, desiring to thank thee once again for this another day, for the privilege we have of arising from our beds of slumber, for the desire to assemble ourselves in the house of the Lord to worship and to praise thee. Our Father, we want to acknowledge thee again and own thee as a God of creation, the God of providence, and the God of all grace, the only true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name once more we come to render unto thee praise and adoration for the redemption that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that we feel to have been made partakers of by thy marvelous grace, by thy quickening spirit, and by thy gift of faith, that we might behold the things of our redemption, that we might read in thy precious words of those precious promises that thou hast recorded for our learning and for our edification and for our benefit, for our hope by which we're saved until that precious day when he who loved us died and was crucified and buried and raised again and ascended to thy right hand has been exalted above every name in heaven, and all dominions and powers in heaven and earth has been subjected and given into his hand. Unto him, our Father, who loved us and gave himself for us, and that day when he shall come again without sin unto salvation, we thank thee, O Lord, for the church that we have, and which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, for the fellowship we have one with another in thy precious gospel, for the witness of thy divine spirit in our hearts, and the witness is thy gospel is preached. And now, dear Lord, we pray as thy ministering servants all over this land rise up to speak, O Lord, in thy name, that thou would bless them wherever they are, as well as those that are here at this place. Lord, we pray that thou would bless according to thy purposes in grace, send forth thy word in power, that it might go forth and find a lodging place in our hearts, that we might be edified and built up in the most holy faith, that we might better understand the wondrous riches of thy grace and mercy that's been given us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we might be humbled and bow down and worship and praise thy great and worthy name. Lord, we pray that thou would prosper the church here at Reedsville, that she might, O Lord, be as a city set upon a hill, as a light that's lighted and set upon the mantle in a house, and that all that come in might see the glories of thy wonderful person, that we might behold our wonderful Savior as our prophet, priest, and king, and as our mediator, as a messenger and surety of thy covenant, that we might, O Lord, truly be grateful and appreciate and adore thy great and wonderful name for the marvelous love that thou hast bestowed upon us. And Father, now we would pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged and the infirmed, those, O Lord, who are suffering by reason of illnesses and infirmities, and those that are in a hospital, each and every one that's asked an interest in our prayers. Lord, we pray that thou would remember them, be near and dear and round about them in all of their afflictions. May they, O Lord, cast their cares upon thee, and even though their body might be in affliction, thy hope, O Lord, might be bright, and their faith might shine forth as a precious stone in this ungodly and evil world. Our Father, we pray for our leaders. O Lord, deliver them from confusion of face, that they might, O Lord, rule over this great people with wisdom from thee. These and all blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
I've been in this church for 4 years. Been loving it. That's the wrong fact. He gave it to you and he took it away. No joke here. And we have to be satisfied. The demon went on for about 8 to 9 months. Pastor comes from here and yonder, the devil went speaking for us. The Baptist was there. That's the day I brought the joy of this. Then he hung on the best and went on for pastor. I thank a lot of him. And I hope this church will stay in peace as long as today as I live on this earth.
I'm in the hands of an almighty God, and knoweth not what lieth before me. And I come in much weakness, but I come in faith, looking to a God of glory, who is able to strengthen and supply our every need. I didn't come because I had any feeling or thought in any wise that you needed me. But I come for the love that's been shed abroad into my heart, that I might have fellowship with the saints of God that are gathered together in this assembly. Have fellowship with them in Christ Jesus. And that is the only reason I'm here today. But I need you. I need the fellowship of my brethren in Christ. I need your prayers daily. For in the weakness of this flesh, I do so easily go astray and come in error. But I'm thankful to God this morning that He has sent one to this low ground of sin and sorrow and offered Himself a sacrifice for us and become sin for us and delivered us from the curse of the law, delivered us from death, that we might have life and life more abundantly in Him, Jesus the Christ. And I don't know this morning, it might be the best thing I could do is to excuse myself. For I really don't have a text or scripture that's binding up on my mind at this particular moment of time. And I'm here depending upon God to work His will according to the counsel of His pleasure. If it be His will, He will liberate me by the Spirit and the power of God. But if it be His will, He will take everything away from me, and I'll be shut up. And I'm thankful that it is that way, that we cannot come of our own strength, we cannot come of our own wisdom, but we must come in the faith in Christ Jesus, who has delivered us from the bondage of sin and delivered us from death, and through the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration has made a new creature, which is none other than the Spirit from heaven born into us the hope of glory. And that Spirit abideth in us every moment of our life after it comes. We don't have the feeling of it at all times as powerful as we do at other times, but nevertheless it's there. For the Lord God from heaven says He will go with us always, even unto the end. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is with us daily, every moment of our life. I would say this morning, the Scriptures teaches me and the witness to the Holy Spirit, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt upon this earth. And there was a purpose in that. After the counsel of the will of the all-divine Heavenly Father, who is omniscient in wisdom and omnipotent in power and omnipresent in His holy habitation, there's no wisdom outside of the wisdom of God and the wisdom that He gives unto men. Any wisdom that you have, it cometh from God. And so this Word that was made flesh and dwelt upon this earth, it was for a purpose. After God, the Heavenly Father, divine, spoke this world into existence and created the man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He placed him eastward in the Garden of Eden, the paradise of God, if you will. And he was made in the image and the likeness of God Himself. And he was holy at that moment of time. He had fellowship with God, communion with God, and was able to eat of the tree of life daily. For that garden that he was placed in the midst of that garden was a tree of life. But there was another tree there in the midst of that garden also. And the other tree of the goodness of the knowledge of good and evil, that he says that thou shalt not eat of this tree. For in the day that thou eatest of this tree, thou shalt surely die. But then God looked down upon the Adam, the man that he placed in the paradise of God, the Garden of Eden, and said it's not good he'd dwell alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon him and taken from his side a rib and closed up the flesh thereof. And brought that vessel unto Adam, and he says, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and therefore she shall be called woman. And henceforth from that time on, man shall leave his mother and his father and shall take unto himself a wife. And they shall be no more twain, but one flesh. And the scripture says that the man shall cleave unto his wife. I wonder sometimes that in this day that what people really think concerning this word of God, or do they ever think upon it? That we have so much ungodliness going on. They shall no more be twain, but one flesh. And the man shall cleave unto his wife. He shall love that woman as Christ loved the church, for they are a figure. And the word that was made flesh, he came for a purpose, that he might lay down his life for the love that he had for the church, the body. Because that when Eve was beguiled and deceived by that evil spirit, did transgress the commandment of the law of God, and did eat of the tree that she was commanded not to eat thereof. And she did to die. She died right there in that moment of time. Not a corporal death, physical, but she died spiritually. She died from the fellowship he had with God. She died from the communion with God. The man that shall cleave unto his wife, he loved that woman, that wife that God had given unto him, with such a greater love that he did also eat of that tree, that he might go down in death with her for the love he had. And when that had all taken place, God was wrath. He drove them out from the garden and placed cherubims, the flame of fire, at the gates thereof, that they might not enter in again and to eat of the tree of life. But now here's what we're getting to. The Word was made flesh and dwelt upon this earth. According to the omniscient wisdom of God, he'd done seen all of this taking place even before the foundation of this world. He's seen eternity from eternity and to declare the end. The remedy had already been prepared even before the transgression taking place in the omniscient wisdom of God. For there's nothing new that was not already with him beforehand. And so the Word was made flesh and dwelt upon this earth, that he might offer himself a sacrifice that would be totally, wholly acceptable unto God the Father, to make an atonement for our foe, to redeem us out from under the curse of the law, to redeem us from the curse of death, that through that redemption, and when he was crucified and laid down his life and buried in Joseph's new tomb, he only laid there for 72 hours, for 3 days and 3 nights, and rose victorious, conquered death, hell, and the grave on the third reviving morning. And through his resurrection, he justified us before God the Father. But let me tell you something, my brethren and sisters, today, in his crucifixion, in his burial, if he would still be in that grave, his crucifixion wouldn't have been worth a nickel unto us. It wouldn't have done us any good. But he rose, victor, conqueror over this world. And through that rising of the resurrection, he has justified us before God the Father. My brethren and sisters today, in Philippians, and I'm short of knowing where all these scriptures are. Let me try to quote it. He says, "For you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And it don't stop with that. "For it is God that worketh within you both the will and the do of his own good pleasure." And until he works in us, according to his will, we don't have anything to work out. We can't work. And so that I've been affiliated with the primitive 34 years. I've lived with them all my life. I was born into the family of the primitive. But they didn't make me one. And I've heard all kind of doctrines, preaching come from the pulpits. Most of it's true, but there's a lot of it's been untrue. I've heard it set forth that we didn't have nothing to do. Through the predestination of that you were predestinated unto heaven, there was nothing you could do to enter therein and nothing to do to knock yourself out. Others predestinated unto the hell, and they was bound for hell and they couldn't do nothing about it. The scriptures don't uphold it. Only the predestination is spoke of in this Bible is in Christ Jesus. You don't believe it, you read it and study it. "According as he has chosen us before the world, holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to his own purpose. To them that he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son." Where in the world, tell me, where he speaks, he's predestinated anything in the flesh. He predestinated them in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, if I had the time, and I want to be as brief as I can, that your pastor might have plenty of time, that you wrote into the ninth chapter of Romans, speaking of the seed of Abraham. You know, there was a religion in the day that Jesus Christ lived upon this earth, the Pharisees. They verily, verily thought within themselves that they were safe and secure because they were the seed of Abraham after the flesh. But you read in the ninth chapter of Romans, it says it's not by flesh, but it's by the quickening spirit, the new birth, which is a quickening spirit from heaven. That is the seed. Jesus told those Pharisees that in your self-righteousness that you think that you are safe and secure, that you are seed of Abraham in the flesh. But he says that you are of your father the devil. For you were the seed of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. What is the works of Abraham? The works of Abraham is in the obedience of faith. Faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Totally loyal unto him. To obedient unto his every commandment. To walk in obedience. To uphold his law and his moral values. Moral integrity. For Abraham, when God approached unto him in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, Get thee out from thy father's house, thy land, and thy country, and go thee into a land that I will show thee. He gathered up his possession and began his journey, not beholding where he traveled, but walking by an eye of faith. My brethren and sisters, there's so much here that we're not going to take time to go over it. But by and by, when the seed had come, when he was at the age of 100, and after a period of time, and I believe it was nearly 25 years then, that the young son, his only son, had reached a maturity of age. He says, take thy son yonder into the mountain where I show thee, and offer him up as a sacrifice. He didn't quiver. He began his journey according to the commandment of God, believing that God would perform that he had covenant and promised unto him. And he began his journey, and when he beheld the mountain, the servants he had taken with him, he says, you wait here until I and the son go yonder and to worship God. And as he traveled, they laid the wood upon Isaac, my brothers and sisters, and he had the fire and the knife in his hand. And as he traveled, that son asked the father, where is the sacrifice? What did he tell him? He says, God himself will prepare the sacrifice, my brothers and sisters. And so Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ, a figure. He went willingly, immediately to loyalty unto his father. He bare the wood there, and when they had built the altar and laid the wood in place upon the altar, he was bound and laid upon there. He didn't resist the work of his father. No. He willingly was bound and laid upon there. And when he'd taken the knife, the angel from heaven spoke unto him, to touch not thy son, to do not anything unto him. Oh, Abraham then lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. My brothers and sisters, there's a sacrifice that Abraham had told the son. God himself will prepare the sacrifice. He had prepared it already there. But he tested the faith, my brothers and sisters, in a sense. He was testing the faith of Abraham, and he brought it to a test. That none of us can imagine how deep that test was. For I'm going to say this, if you felt by the Holy Spirit from heaven that God is telling you to take one of thy sons and offer him up as a sacrifice, I don't know whether you'd do it or not. I don't believe I'd have the strength to that end. I just don't believe I'd have that strength, my brethren and sisters, for I'd look back unto other things, away in the commandments. It says that thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, my brethren and sisters. And so I would look at that, thou shalt not kill, my brethren and sisters, and I'd be awful hesitant to take a son and to offer him up as a sacrifice, my brethren and sisters. But nevertheless, be that it is, God knoweth our condition. He knoweth our imperfections. He knoweth all about us. He knoweth our every step. He knoweth our every word. He knoweth our every thought before they are spoken, before they even come into our mind, my brothers and sisters. And so work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, my brothers and sisters, for it is God that worketh within you both the will and the do of his good pleasure, my brothers and sisters, when he has worked in you by the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, brought forth the law unto you, that brought a condemnation and brought death unto you. At the same moment of time, it brought also life unto thee, for using natural things as an analogy, that you have this building being total darkness, but it has the lights in that, that you have a switch that you can switch that switch, and the light cometh on and dissipates the darkness. In the same moment of time that the light shineth, it dissipates the darkness. And so it is when God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, that brings you to death unto the law. For the scriptures in the 7th chapter of Romans says, you, except you become dead to the law, you cannot be married unto Jesus Christ. flesh. You cannot be married unto another, my brethren. You cannot be married unto two at the same time, my brethren. And so when others of condemnation and conviction was brought forcefully unto thee, and you seen your lost condition, you seen your way that it was lost and undone, you seen you had no strength, you seen you have no power to lift yourself out from under it, he by the work of the Holy Spirit in you brought forth that conviction and condemnation, but at the same moment of time it brought forth life unto thee, for it revealed unto thee Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, who is the light of all men. My brothers and sisters, he is our light, he is our bread, he is our water, he is our all in all, my brothers and sisters. And so that we to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, through how would we work it out? Through obedience unto the faith, as God teaches us, as he leads us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ says, I go away, I will send thee another comforter. And what was another comforter? That is the Holy Spirit, that shall lead you and to guide you in the ways of all truth. My brothers and sisters, now you have the Holy Spirit that leads you and guides you in the ways of all truth. My brothers and sisters, and when the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit speaketh unto you to go, my brothers and sisters, it payeth you to go, my brethren, looking unto him as our strength, as our shield, as our buckler, my brothers and sisters, that we are to go, not beholding where we go, we are to go, knowing that he is able to perform that wherein he has promised us, my brothers and sisters, that we are not to fall back upon and inquire of some counsel of men, my brothers and sisters, we are not to fall back upon anything, for except you forsake thy mother, thy father, thy husband, thy children, you are not worthy to be his disciple. Are we to put him first in all things, that we, our Lord, shall be holy unto him, and not under some religion, if you please, as you get what I'm talking about, that we, in this day, that we put a lot of our Lord into some religions that we join ourselves unto, my brothers and sisters, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. But let me tell you, in your heart, you are yet able to worship God in spirit and truth. For you know some things is ungodly, but through the traditions and through other things that has come to be, that you can't find, as far as your wisdom is concerned, you can't find any other way, any other method to gather yourself together in assembly, to have the fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus. That is why I joined with the Primitive Baptists. I was added unto the church before. I was added unto the church before I was baptized. There's only one church, and it's spiritual. For let me tell you something, in the month of June in 1957, Jesus Christ appeared unto me as I was looking eastward. I seen the countenance of his face. He spoke unto me, this day I have added thee unto the church. There was nobody else there. But I had a zealous desire for many, many years to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to be baptized, laid by nearly the healing waves in the similarity to the death of Jesus Christ, that I might be lifted out from that grave in the newness of life and to live and walk in Christ Jesus. The scripture says that he that is led by the Spirit are the sons of Christ, are the sons of the Lord. And so that we must be led by the Holy Spirit to worship him in spirit and truth. We must live in the Spirit to be the sons of God. For in the Gospel of John, it says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, gave he them power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. He came unto the nation of Israel, but the nation of Israel received him not, and they've not even received him until this day. Because they're yet under the law. The law bringeth death. It don't bringeth life. There's no light in the law, and there's no life in the law. But now I'm speaking as a nation there. But to as many as received him, gave he them power to become the sons of God, even these individuals out of that nation has received him in faith. The scripture says all Israel is not of Israel. All the nation of Israel is not of the spiritual Israel. They're not of the church in that point. For the word of God teaches me, Jesus says, as none can cometh unto me except my Father which sent me draw them. As none can cometh unto me except my Father which sent me draw them, and none can cometh unto the Father except by me, for he is the door. I am the door, the way, the truth, and the life. And you can only come unto the Father by entering into the door, Jesus Christ. He that entereth into the door shall go in and out and find pasture. I believe that. I've witnessed it, I've felt it, and I know it to be so. I don't have to think about it, for I know it. The primitive in days past says that the primitive don't know nothing. The primitive knoweth more than any other people upon the face of this earth. But when I'm speaking no, I don't say that I know that I'm going to enter into that eternal city. I only have a hope, living in faith. I have a faith, hope in Christ Jesus, through faith, that I'll live in that city. If I knew it, I'd be beyond hope and beyond faith. I'd have possession. In other words, in God, the Apostle Paul in the Romans again, in the 8th chapter, we only now have the spirit of adoption, whereby that we cry, Abba, Abba, Father. But we have the spirit of adoption, whereby that we cry, Abba, Father. We yet groan in this old tabernacle of flesh, this creature, awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this body. What am I talking about? This old body shall die, for it was cast out of the paradise of God. And the flaming fire and the cherubim set at the gate there that cannot enter in again and eat of the tree of life. But through his resurrection, he has justified us before God, and we have redemption in the blood that was shed there. This old body shall die and be buried in the earth. But in the appointed time of God the Father, and only the God knows. Jesus himself says, I don't know. Only God the Father knoweth the hour of the day. Jesus shall come in the clouds of great glory with the 10,000 of his angels. Through the revelation of Jesus Christ, those 10,000 of angels, there's none other than the spirits of the saints of God that sleepeth, coming with him to be reunited with that body that shall come forth out of the earth. It must not yet appear unto us what we shall be like. This body is a corrupt body, and we'll die and be laid in the earth in corruption. But we shall be raised incorruptible. We're sown in weakness. We'll be raised in power. We're sown as a mortal being. We shall be raised in immortality. We are sown in dishonor. But we shall be raised in glory. We'll be glorified in Christ Jesus in that day. And that body then, it does not appear unto us what we shall be like, but we shall be likened unto Jesus Christ, our head. And being likened unto him, but I'm sure that we shall be satisfied. There'll be no more heartaches, shedding of tears. There'll be altogether joy, be altogether peace, be altogether happiness in that day. my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm living for. That's what I dwell here. And I continually looking heavenward that I might see him come in the clouds with great glory. I might have brothers and sisters. I might hear the trump of God and the voice of the archangel that it might sound. And I might hear that voice saying unto me, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for thee before the foundation of the world. My brothers and sisters, that the power then, and I'll be enabled by that power to wake. Awake out of the sleep that I'll be resting in, if it so be that I lay there. But lo and behold, that we don't have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know the date he's coming. He could come even before that we return to our homes. We don't know, my brothers and sisters. But let me tell you this. It'll be the morning. It won't be at night. It won't be at the midnight time. It'll be a new day. It'll be a morning, my brothers and sisters. It'll be the beginning of a new era in that sense. But let me tell you this, that we speak of the salvation. And I've heard the controversies over salvation, and it makes me want to vomit. Different philosophies of religion want to criticize others. And they want to say that some believe in a conditional salvation. It's all together according to you. And others want to declare that it's a time salvation. You've got a time salvation while you live here. And you can even lose that salvation. But then you'll have an eternal salvation in an eternal city. I don't believe a word of it. I'm going to tell you what I do believe. Jesus Christ is our salvation. And I hear him saying in the gospel, I give unto them eternal salvation. To all them that obey my commandments. And so there's where, as I'm talking, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out in the fear of the God, in total obedience unto his law, unto his, the faith that is given unto you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. In total obedience, that faith will bring total obedience. I believe it in everything that's in me. That faith brought total obedience through Abraham. That he, in obedience, went to offer up his son, his only son, a son that he dearly loved, in obedience. In obedience you shall eat the good and the fat of the land, but in disobedience ye shall be devoured by the word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. There's only one salvation. That's eternal. To them I give eternal salvation, to all them that obey my commandments. Now, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, came preaching in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. Jesus Christ, after he had reached the age of about 30 years, and was baptized, and the Holy Ghost fell upon him. He come forth preaching after them, healing, strengthened, giving sight. He healed, gave strength, and made a whole to every individual that came unto him. He cast out the spirits to every individual that came unto him. There's one woman that was sick. It inquired of him.